this to a pinpoint. I will then worry about this, and that'll help me not think about that. It's a diversionary tactic. It's like when people were talking in a situation that they're not comfortable with, and suddenly they begin to change the subject. Why do they do that? They're diverting the attention from their sin. They don't want to be convicted or confronted, so they change the subject real quick. And when people cut themselves and do stuff like this, they're trying to quiet down the clamor in their heart and in their mind, when in reality what they should do, is try to figure out what is going on in their heart and why. For some people, it's trauma like this dear girl I told you about. Here's a gal who was cutting herself with razor blades. Here's a gal who was going through trauma and traumatic experience. Here's a girl who came to a pastor saying, I just read a book, and it was the Peretti series about this present darkness. And she began to think, maybe there's something to those demonic forces out there. And it was a good novel. So all it was a novel, but it had a lot of biblical background to it. The guy was writing a novel about the spiritual wickedness and the warfare in the heavenly places. And she began to say, you know, this might be what I've got. I'm going to go ask this pastor what he thinks. And I had read the book not too far before that. And I said, I think it's very, very possible. Tell me your story. And it began to unfold. Her dad used to take her to a Hindu place, and he would steal the fruit from the idol and make her eat it. Now, you can't do stuff like that. Now, that's a world where she came from, and she would be many times. Have no illusions. This gal was a 4.0 in school. She was being, where they try to wine and dine you to come to work for them, whatever it is. She was being pursued by some great companies, ended up working in one of the higher echelons of AT&T. So we're not talking about some little girl who's hiding in the shadows. She ran as fast as she could with all that was inside of her, married to a guy, and she would cut herself and hide it, and he didn't know about it. And what was she doing? She was constantly saying, my dad didn't love me. My dad hated me. My dad treated me terribly. Nobody cared about me, and I've gotten picked up a spirit maybe over here and over there, because the Bible talks about it, doesn't it? In 1 Corinthians, it talks about that we don't worship when we worship idols. You know, in that day, they had a lot of idols. He says, there are gods behind those idols. There are demons behind those idols, little g. And she would pick these things up, and something was going on and stirring up. But here's my point. Yours and mine is to resist the devil. And I believe many believers don't do that. I believe that with all my heart. I know what you and I go through. I'm a human like you are, and sometimes we flirt with disaster. This man flirted with it, and he picked up a situation that got so out of control that he was completely out of control of himself. He's naked, he's in the tombs, and yet, Jesus receives worshipers. And what I wanted to give you the picture of is this man running as if there's like this pig pen kind of a dust behind him. He ran to Jesus, naked, ashamed, humiliated, and he fell at his feet, and verse 6 says, and he worshipped him. Powerful words. Any of us would say, man, this is disgusting. What are we going to do? Man, we got to get out of here. Jesus immediately spoke. And he said, come out of him. In verse 7 it says, and cried with a loud voice. Verse 6 says, the man ran and worshipped him. And it says, and cried with a loud voice. Verse 7. And if you connect the words in verse 8 where it says, for he had said unto him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. You can add these words in verse 7. And the unclean spirit cried with a loud voice, saying, what have I to do with you, Jesus? Thou Son of God, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. The first great thing that Jesus does is he receives worshipers. The problem is many of us don't want to worship him because we don't really get it. I mean, we're very enthralled. The Bible says of the Galatians, he says, who had bewitched you? Who had bewitched you? And the word bewitched means to fascinate. And you know, we got all kinds of fascinations, don't we? Think about it. Fascination's everywhere. Man, you go to a Star Wars movie and a wide screen, and man, there's bombs going off. And if it's wide enough, in IMAX kind of fashion, man, you can feel like you're just like, whoa, and you're in the midst of it. Cars and behind wheels, and they got this thing going on. You're falling out of your chair. Fascinating. What about the tear-jerking movies? I know you men never tear-jerk. I get tear-jerked, and I'm man enough to admit it. Every now and then I'll be sitting there, and everybody in the room will be like, oh, that's ridiculous. I'm like, nothing going on over here. Somehow you know that if you open your eyes wider, the tears won't come. But here's my point. Fascinating. Enthralled. And so we allow day to day to go on and go on and go on. And what's happening in those days? The rock band Yes said it this way. They said, moments decide and moments delight. Because every day that you don't come to God, He's delighted. The devil's delighted. And what you're doing is, every day that you don't come to God, there's another thing thrown in the pack. And then another thing. And somebody hurts you, and you get another thing. There's bitterness, and there's hurt, and there's hate, and there's reaction to childhood trauma. You go through, and you got a tumor on this side of your heart, and a tumor on that side of the heart, and you just think, well, that's the way it is. That's the way I am. Love me, love my dog. And your dog is this big pack on your back, and you don't know what it is. You think somehow there's nothing for it. I want you to know Jesus said, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. I want you to know Jesus said, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. That's huge. How cool is it to be able to stand in the latter days of your life knowing that you've tried to somehow walk with God according to His Word, not according to the way that seems right, which is an end thereof of the ways of death, but the ways this book, this Bible tells us to live, which is the just shall live by what? Faith. By good works? No. It says the just shall live by His justice? No. The just shall live by faith. You just trust Him. As that man said to me as he was on his bed and in the hospital thinking he was going to die just a few short days before, he holds my hand, he asks Jesus to save him, he looks up at me and he says, that's awesome. That's awesome. And here was a man that was looking down the barrel of the gun, and he had his eyes open at that moment when I walked in and asked him if I could maybe share with him how he could know he was going to heaven. What a huge thing to have every sin wiped out. Jesus can do that. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as wool. Now this is exciting stuff. You can't get it anywhere. You can't get it in a bottle. You can't get it packaged. You get it in the book. The Bible tells us that when you know the truth can set you free. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. This man worshiped God. He came and he worshiped. The word for worship here is proskuneo. I love this word because it means so much to me. The word pros means toward. Like program, proceed. It's telling you what's coming or what's leaning toward. Progress. Cross kuneo. The word kuneo, we get the word canine from it. It literally has the idea of to kiss at its backstory, but it's related to puppy dogs who puppy dog about their master. It means to kiss toward God. It means to puppy dog toward God. When you get excited about the things of God, you're worshiping Him. It's not about formality or posture or whether you're on your knees or standing up or driving or sitting down or have your eyes closed or open. It's about being all lit up about God. That's worship. And sometimes you can do it through a song. Sometimes you can do it through a reading. Sometimes you can do it through fellowshipping. Sometimes you can do it from hearing somebody like Mark say, you know what? I saw something. It stuck with me all week. And all he did was see a picture. And yet God came in because God sealed something to His heart, personal. And it went with Him for a whole week. When was the last time something great went with you for a whole week? That's what God does. When you wake up and you've had a bad day the day before and there's a Christian song in your heart and you're thinking, you know, that song, why is that song in my mind? Go with it because that's God. He loves you and He puts songs in your heart. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Part of being filled with the Spirit is singing and making melody in your heart. So in this passage, we see this man's everything but that, right? I mean, he's got cutting of his arms, and he's got moaning, and he's got nakedness, and he's got despair. And I see him running across that dark desert, or that dry desert, and this demonic force coming with him, because it's more than one demon we'll find, and he gets there and he worships him, and I can see him holding on to his leg and saying anything but this, help me! And yet we won't say that in our pride sometimes. We'll say anything but that, man, anything but God, anything but Jesus. Man, that's a crutch. Well, I just got news for you. Anybody tells me Jesus is a crutch for me, I want to say amen, he is. I need a crutch because I'm crippled. If you don't think you're crippled, you need to look in the mirror real close, because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says till we're saved, we're enmity. We're at enmity with God, which means we're enemies of God. You say, well, I don't have anything against God. Well, every day that we ignore him and act as if he doesn't exist and treat the world as if it's our oyster without regard for our brothers or sisters and how our behavior is impacting them, and every choice that we make not to honor Jesus, not to honor God, not to read our Bibles, not to do church because that's God's people, we just don't want anything to do with that. Every day that unfolds, we are showing ourselves one issue after another that we're heaping stuff on our pack. And we're absorbing it and we're carterized to it because we've done it for so long, it's the way we roll, as they say today. And we think that's what it is about. And pretty soon it becomes a delusion that it'll be all right. And if you watch enough movies, you'll always see the character that died in the last one come back to life in the next one. So there's nothing to worry about. You just get the next episode. Play enough video games, guess what? You got killed, it's not game over. If you get a new life at a certain spot and go on, that's not the reality. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So these are important things. And the Bible says of this man that he worships him, but Jesus, right away, the second thing he does is he resists wickedness. That's a great thing. Aren't you glad somebody does? Consistently resist it? The Bible says that this unclean spirit, in verse 7, cried out with a loud voice, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? He says, what have I to do with you? And the reason he said it is told us in verse 8. It says, for Jesus had said to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Now, what's interesting about the word unclean is the word unclean literally indicates ceremonial and moral defilement. That's what it means. It's actually used, at its root word is used for that which is, it carries the idea of pruning away shoots on a plant that are detrimental. Some of you are all into that. I'm not really into it, but I'm a little moderately familiar with it, that if a plant or a tree is growing and you don't clip back some things, it takes away from the fruitfulness of a tree. And what this is saying is that this guy was an unclean spirit. This spirit was an unclean spirit. This guy had gotten into a zone of doing the wrong, so much so that now it was very natural to do the wrong. And all of the detrimental things were flourishing. The detrimental things were flourishing in this man's life. He knew what it was to be bitter all the time. He knew what it was to have a foul mouth all the time. He knew what it was to have a foul mind all the time. He knew what it was to be fascinated with death and tempt fate all the time. He knew what it was just to thumb his nose at God all the time. And eventually he landed in this situation where everybody and his brother, as far as the demonicos were involved, came along and just jumped on the bandwagon, say, this is what we're doing. Hey, this is cool. We got a place to party. Let's hang out. And this guy was a mess. Do not catapult this back 2,000 years ago. I know a lady. I told you about her. I know another lady. I could tell you story after story, and I'm sure some of you could. You know sisters or brothers or whatever. What about anorexia? A girl looks at herself in the mirror, and she sees that she's got nothing but bones, and she says, I'm fat. Does that not sound like deception? That's a lie from the devil. Every time people try to give it another word for it, you know, it's not being a drunkard, it's a disease. It's not their fault. And I'm really glad to grab hold of that and say, that's my thing, I've got a disease. No, we have a sin problem. We're trying to medicate that problem, and we're not willing to follow it through to its logical conclusion and find out where it is that it makes us so miserable, what it is we're holding on to, what it is we're protecting, and what ends up happening is we end up buying into the world's agenda. And then we begin to perpetuate their agenda. Like what one man said at this men's conference this summer, he said, we don't need 12 steps, we need one step to the foot of the cross. People want psychology, not sanctification. And that's what happens. We would rather have anything but God. This guy was so miserable. He was tired. It was time, you know. I heard a guy say it once, and I'm not sure it's not true. He said, people never come to Jesus till they're sick of their sin. If you like your sin and you want to go on in your sin and you think you're saved because you prayed a prayer, you probably didn't get saved. Because nobody gets saved holding on. You can't do it. The Bible talks about it being a straight gate and a narrow way. When you go through the straight gate and the narrow way, there's not room for all that other garbage. When I got saved, immediately things changed in my life. Not everything, because I still had the vestiges of the gray clothes of my old life. But when I got right with God and He took me back into His fold after I had strayed for like 3 or 4 years, man, things changed. It was like going into the promised land. Joshua goes into the promised land and Jericho falls all on its own right. The walls fall down, man. God does some miracles. He does what? He does great things. The first thing He does is He receives worshipers. The second thing He does is He resists wickedness. And the concept right away, the first thing He does is command deliverance for this man. Do you know that God has commanded deliverance for you? Did you know that? That's what He did. He commands it, but if you won't receive it, that's on you. How do I know He commands it? Because the Bible says God, the times of their ignorance, God winked at. But now He commands. He commands all men everywhere to repent. Do you see that? He commands it. Now, the fact of the matter is, He wouldn't command you to do something you can't do. And if it's not happening, it's because you're saying, I won't do it. What does repentance mean? Good, important word. We think repentance means kind of turning away from everything and holding our breath and hoping things work out and saying, I won't do anything more. No, the Bible tells us what repentance means. It means basically turning from our little g-gods and turning to the big God, the true God, the only God. Turning to serve the true and living God and from your idols. The idea literally is metanoia. That's the Greek word for repentance. It means to change your mind. Why do you need to change your mind? Well, because the devil sees to it that you have a lot of false conceptions about God, false beliefs. And some of the things you have to give up are your false beliefs. For a moral person who never did God and did church, or a religious person who always did high church but never really knew God, because it was all theatrics for them, they just kind of sat back and kind of rubbed their chin and kind of, oh well, okay, I guess that's the way it is. That's what I was told from since I was little. Those people need to change their mind about who God is because they've been told something that was wrong about God, or a moral person believes something about God. You know what moral people believe about God? You ask them. Well, I figure I'm a pretty good person. If my good outweighs my bad, I'm sure God will let me in. That's what they believe. And the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The religious person says, well, I've always given to the church, or I've gone to church, or I was baptized, or I joined the church, my name is on a roll, and they think that's what's going to do it. I try to be good to people. I try to what? Keep the Ten Commandments. There is a way that seems right unto a man. If you read this Bible, you'll find out what the Ten Commandments were for. They weren't to be kept. They were to be a tutor. The Ten Commandments, the Bible says in Galatians, were given to us to show us we couldn't keep them. To get us lost. Because when you run smack dab into thou shalt not bear false witness, you get convicted. When you run into thou shalt not covet your neighbor's stuff, you get convicted. When you run smack dab into thou shalt not look upon a woman so as to lust, you get convicted. When you run smack dab into you shall worship no other God but me, you get convicted. When it says don't make any images, second commandment, don't make any images at all, you get convicted. And those convictions, God's saying, look, I